And in this corner, weighing in at a set of blueberries, the standard low-fat Republican, grand old Republican, who refuses to fight the Democrats the way they fight us, Governor Goofball. And in this corner, weighing in at a set of Vidalia onions, the teller of truth, the slayer of Democrats.
Welcome to the program, folks. Your friendly neighborhood hatchet man, Brother Craig. I am coming at you live here on the really real deal. And folks, we had a fantastic week this week. We started out Monday. It was the annual observance of the celebrating the birth of the late great Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And we were blessed to be able to do that in concert with Lobby Day here in my home state of Virginia. On the Capitol grounds, we had a rally in support of the Second Amendment. All of that was a part of Lobby Day, okay? And, and as I've said, we're so blessed, we're so fortunate to live in a nation where we get the right to lobby our legislators. You know, most of the world does not get that. And in many places, it's somewhat perfunctory, and it's like a shadow of being able to do that. You don't do it for real. It's just sort of a trick to keep the masses quiet. Now, here in the United States of America, we have a decision to make. Are we going to allow our rights to become shadows of themselves, or are we going to enforce our rights? Because the bottom line, folks, is the only rights you actually have are the rights you're actually willing to fight for. If you're not willing to fight for it, if you're not willing to use it, exercise it, you don't have it. Okay? It's just something on paper. And so we're going to go through a lot of that today. In our second segment, we're going to have Andrew Neggs. I was blessed to meet him for the first time at the rally, and looking very much forward to our conversation with him. He is running actually to be my representative. I live in the 7th District of Virginia, okay? And it's going to be a tremendous contest for the right to take on Abigail Spanberger, the fake Democrat. Well, I misspoke. She is a real Democrat, trust me, okay? She's a fake centrist, okay? This is what Democrats do, okay? They advertise themselves during election season as, I'm sensible, I'm centrist, I'm reasonable, okay? And they are none of these things. I mean, if you want reasonable, you have to vote Republican, all right? I mean, analyze it. What do Democrats represent? Now, none of them stand on these things as they're running for office, okay? Because this 7th district, my district, is a very conservative district. And for the life of me, I'm wondering, when are Republicans going to wake up and smell the coffee and understand that this is a 70% right nation, center-right nation? This is a 70% Christian nation. So why not go after Christians? Why not go after center-right people? You know, why not everyone support the Second Amendment? Why not everyone? I mean, today, in Washington, there's 100,000 people there, and I was there about 3 years ago in support of life. And as I've told you all several times before, I was born in very, very uncongenial circumstances, the type of circumstances where people would say, you know, oh, yeah, well, we could let her have an abortion because, you know, poor thing. All right. But my mother didn't carry herself like a poor thing. You know, my mother said, no, I'm not going to get rid of him. And so as a result, I'm here. And here in the state of Virginia, with Democrats in control, they're rolling back gun rights. They're rolling back protections on human life. I mean, human life, okay? They're rolling back protections, and they're disguising it in the guise of they're in favor of women's health, okay? I heard a snippet of a speech by Jennifer McClellan, and she's telling the story of some friend of hers who had a miscarriage and what this law, the inconvenience this law would give a woman who had a miscarriage. A miscarriage is an unfortunate incident. She's using that as an excuse to commit not miscarriages, which happen by nature, okay, but aborticide, which is 99.9% of the time, folks, let's be honest, what it is, it's after-the-fact birth control. That's what it is. And they whine about choice. And you had the choice to take your panties off. The man had the choice to climb into bed with you. That was your choice. You exercise that choice, you have to accept the responsibility for what comes later. So you want to exercise choice, and then when it comes to accepting responsibility for that choice, there's a new life. It has its own DNA, its own fingerprint, its own heartbeat, its own connection to God. And you want to snip that life out. But you all, you Democrats, you say, we are the kind people, and these Republicans are the mean people. We are the people of love. These Republicans are the people of hate. And see, and what future elections for the foreseeable future, at least a generation, this is what they're going to boil down to, folks. It's an information war. All right? The Word of God, as a matter of fact, I have it pulled up right in front of me, Book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. This is what the Democrats do, okay? And in every day of the week, we got all these Republicans that they can't say anything bad about a Democrat. All they can say about the Democrat is, that's my friend across the aisle, and I respectfully disagree with what he's saying. Show me where Jesus Christ said that. Jesus Christ said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye shall do. He was a liar from the beginning and a murderer, and abode not in truth. So when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, because he is the father of lies. And you notice I didn't have to pull that Bible verse up. Well, I wouldn't have had to pull Isaiah up either, folks, to tell you the truth. But I have already had it up. But, I mean, this is crazy, folks. Book of Luke, okay? Chapter 20. And I am going to pull this one up. I don't want to get one syllable misplaced. This is the fake, phony impeachment that's going on right now of our president, Donald J. Trump, all right? The year 2020, perfect vision is 2020, the book of Luke chapter 20, verse 20, all right? And they watched him and sent forth spies, which should pretend themselves to be righteous men, that they might take hold of his words, so that they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. That's what it says, folks. That's what it says. You might, now we know that's talking about the Pharisees watching Jesus and sending spies to be around Jesus. But Jesus also said, as they have done to me, they will do to you. And he said, the servant is not greater than the master. So why are we whining? I get so sick of hearing all of the talking heads whine and cry. Oh, look at how they're treating our president. Look how they treated our Lord. And our Lord said, as they have done to me, they will do to you. And so they could have said, if we updated the Hatchet Man version, and they watched Trump and sent forth spies against Trump, which should pretend themselves to be righteous men, that they might take hold of the words of Trump, so they might deliver Trump unto the power and authority of the impeachment council. And with that, we're going to take our first break, folks. And when we come back, we are going to have a really, really fantastic candidate. I mean, there's eight candidates, but there's three that are doing that I think are really, really strong. This man, Andrew Nags, is one of those three. We will be right back.
You can run on for a long time. Run on.
And welcome back to the program, folks. Your friendly neighborhood hatchet man, Brother Craig. I am coming back at you live here, and my very special guest in studio is Andrew Nags. Andrew is running for the right to represent not only the 7th District, but this man is running for the right to become my personal congressman, okay? I live in the 7th District, a very conservative district that's been invaded by Democrats, and a lot of folks have been tricked, and we now have a Democrat representing us. So welcome, Andrew, and thank you so much for sharing.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, the pleasure's all mine.
Here. It's good
yeah,
to be here.
Yeah. And look, and folks, the audience just heard, maybe they were wondering, well, why is Brother Craig coming back from break with the Ballad of the Green Berets? Because we got a Green Beret right here.
That's right. So. I've got goosebumps. I love that.
So look, tell us a little bit about yourself. Right. And you know, folks love it when, men who, because, you know, by rights, the Congress is supposed to vote to send the nation to war. And I think they've reclassified a lot of war as military action and have actually delegated that authority to the president. And I can get that in a, sense where it's an emergency. You have to move fast. Mm-hmm. Okay. But still, it is a responsibility of Congress, and people like it when the men who vote to send their sons into the military or into war, that they've been there, done that, and got the right T-shirt. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I'd love to. So as you said, I am a former Green Beret. I have done the job on the ground. I was an operator. I commanded a Special Forces team in Iraq.
I thought they said once a Green Beret, always a Green Beret.
That's just out of pure deference for the fellows that are still out there doing the job right now.
Okay.
So yes, I've done the job on the ground. I served 2 combat tours in Iraq and was awarded the Bronze Star Medal for combat actions, and I commanded a HALO team. But
now, what's a HALO team?
High altitude, low opening. It's military free fall. It's basically like it's skydiving at night under oxygen and into combat. So
you mean you actually jumped out of a perfectly good airplane?
In fact, I've jumped out of many more airplanes than I've landed in. All these many years later.
Yeah.
But I need to tell you, that was years ago. So I've done the work on the ground. Folks always say, oh, you know, you and other folks in the race are so similar. Well, that's kind of where the similarities end. I just left the Trump administration where I served the president for 2 years as his deputy assistant secretary of defense, rooting out terrorism around the world and helping and leading a significant part.
Now tell us about that, because my position for years has been we're at war. And you don't have to know you're at war to be at war, and our adversaries, and to be honest, our nation too, all nations, particularly powerful nations, all nations do this. They engage in a thing called strategic indirect warfare.
Yeah, that's a very real thing. But let me just put a bow on this.
Okay.
I have served President Trump as a senior executive in the Pentagon. I'm the only candidate in this race who's actually worked for the president in his administration. And in fact, as far as we can tell, I'm the only candidate in this race, or the only candidate around the country who has served as a senior executive in President Trump's administration. That said, I'm also a West Pointer. I graduated from United States Military Academy at West Point with a civil engineering degree. And then after that, that's when I went on to become a Green Beret, which I shared for you. After 9 years in the Army, I left the service, and then I went to law school at William & Mary Law. And while I was there, I was elected president by my fellow students of the Federalist Society. And then after graduation, I worked for a while here in Richmond, and then I went back into federal government as a civilian, and I led the research and engineering division at the Joint IED Defeat Organization, which was an organization that was designed to counter roadside bombs, improvised explosives devices, of the type that Qasem Soleimani, who we just took off the battlefield 2 weeks ago, was financing and leading.
So, oh, okay. So how many boxes of tissue did you go through when Trump took that joker out?
Zero.
And well, you know, all over the nation, zero. Folks, they look for any reason to attack President Trump. And I mean, these same people, they don't cry over a baby in the womb that gets their life snuffed out.
That's right.
But they're whining over, you know, Trump is too mean. Trump is too tough. I mean, you familiar with the term toxic masculinity? All these jokers with,
I've heard of it.
With skinny jeans and purple hair. And you got these guys that.
And fun socks. And the fun socks.
Fun socks. Yeah, what's that? Socks with all the toes a different color.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But going back to your question about the application of force.
Yes.
I need to tell you that there are some genuine differing points of view on that. I have operated at the strategic level, leading a significant policy area for national security. And I can tell you the president and the executive must not have their hands tied. We must not, as informed citizens, we need to make a distinction between a declaration of war and the whole set of activities that continue to keep us safe around the world. That is not to say that we should be engaged in frivolous
Right, but explain. Take a little time and explain that to people, because I get this all the time. Because people know, just like I explained earlier, that it's a function of Congress. But in recent years, and I did qualify it by saying that there's many reasons, and I think the main reason is the need for speed.
Yes.
And so ahead of time, they've delegated some of the congressional authority to the president, but explain to people the difference. When do you do one, which is, that's a spirit of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of discernment, knowing not what to do, but when to do it.
So, I gotta challenge one part of what you just laid out.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a matter of delegation of authority from Congress.
Oh,
the
okay.
president exercises Article 2 authority delegated by, and that authority comes from the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are operational authorities that the president exercises. One comes from the Constitution, but there's also a statutory delegation as well, and that's declaration of war or the authorization of use for military force. Now, let me tell you the difference.
Mm-hmm.
A declaration of war is like a boxing match, right? It's promoted and it's official and all of that. What the president does day in and day out in leading our armed forces to keep us safe is more like being on the playground and being bullied, and you smash that bully in the mouth. Okay. And you drop him.
Yeah.
That is what the president does every single day in leading our armed forces and showing strength. And what that does is it has the added benefit of deterring aggression, because if you show weakness
like
in the face of aggression,
yes.
you invite more aggression. And that's what happened under the 8 years of neglect by Obama. This president has brought strength back. And when we talk about our America First policy, he's not just talking about economics. He's talking about our sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that expressed in our immigration policy, which I will help President Trump finish the job of fixing our immigration policy. That's one of the reasons why I'm running. And I will certainly help President Trump finish the job of rebuilding and repairing our armed forces after 8 years of neglect under the Obama administration.
So you'd
but
be
the
familiar.
Thing is, the president must be able to look into Congress and see people he trusts.
Yes.
He knows he can trust me because he selected me to lead an important and complex job for him.
Right. So on the immigration issue, you would be, I mean, this is thousands of years of wisdom here. This is in the Bible, the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. And it came to pass that Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabians, when they saw the walls being built, when they heard that Nehemiah planned to repair the wall, it says they were wroth with anger and sought to hinder it. So this is not new. Nations need security. Nations need walls. You and President Trump want to secure our wall.
Yes.
That your opponent, should you become our nominee, Abigail Spanberger and all the Democrats, because we have to focus some of our heat on them.
That's right.
They would be like Sanballat, Tobias, and the Arabians. They were wroth with anger.
We got to be clear about that.
And when they heard Trump say that right before he became president, weren't they wroth with anger? And ever since then, haven't they sought to hinder it? This is in the Bible, folks.
Look, this is the most godly nation and the finest nation in human history. We must defend it, and without borders, we can't do it. So, that absolutely triggered them. I will help President Trump finish the job of getting that wall built and fixing that regulatory regime that is hindering our ability to defend ourselves.
Well, listen, folks, if you're just joining us, we have Andrew Nags, a former Green Beret, former member of Trump's Department of Defense, running for the 7th Congressional District Republican nomination. We're going to take a...
Fighting soldiers.
Welcome back to the program, folks. Your friendly neighborhood hatchet man, Brother Craig, coming back at you here with Andrew Nags, a very fine gentleman, Green Beret, former member of President Trump's Defense Department, running for the right to represent the 7th Congressional District of my home state of Virginia, as actually my home congressional district, the 7th district, to represent us to take back the 7th district seat from Abigail Spanberger and the Democrats. And I say it like that, Andrew, mm-hmm. and thank you, by the way, for staying over another segment with us.
Thank you.
But, and I say it that way because, the Democrats, they're very shrewd and they're very strategic. They're excellent communicators. As a matter of fact, they can take a lie and get more people to believe the lie than we as Republicans typically can do with the truth.
Yeah, they may be smarter than us.
Yeah, that's not wisdom, that's not righteousness, but that's just on the street intelligence. You cannot deny that they have it. Now, the antidote is not for us to outlie them, but to just take the truth and use it as a billy club and bludgeon them without apology, without this my friend across the aisle nonsense.
Look, you bring up a great point that we, and I've been all up and down this district, and you're right. I served President Trump. I'm the only candidate in this race who has served President Trump, and I am a former Green Beret, so I've operated on the ground as well as at the strategic level. I'm also an attorney, having graduated from William & Mary Law School, and a West Point grad. I'm here to tell you that we don't need to compromise our values, and we certainly don't need to twist reality or twist the truth in order to win our arguments. The left they lied, they twist the truth, and that is a fundamental difference. And at the end of the day, what matters mm-hmm. to them versus us, what matters to them is power.
Yeah, and we heard. Don't you see the impeachment now, this absolutely. Fake impeachment of Trump as a pure power grab?
That's all it is. That's right. All it is.
Now, there's another Bible verse that this is from the book of Daniel, and I'm going to read a little bit of it here. And
while you're pulling that up, I'll just say that what's important about the reason why I'm running for Congress is because when I was ready to come back into the private sector after serving President Trump, I looked around and I realized we have been saddled by representatives who won't finish the job.
Right.
Who are always looking for something else or looking to improve their personal profile. And it occurred to me that we need somebody who understands what it means to be a conservative, who understands their faith, who this is not grafted on.
What are you wanting to conserve as a conservative?
What I'm looking to conserve.
If you had to give me like the top three things, what do you want to conserve?
Fundamentally American values.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that, so we could talk about the philosophical end. We could talk about the policy end.
Mm-hmm.
From a policy perspective, we must. I am.
But not policy, because we have, what we have, 5 more minutes. All right, but just bullet points. If you had to conserve, my issue is that a conservative is conserving the idea that freedom is a God.
That's
not, and Democrat position is there is no God and we make the rules. And whether that's life in the womb or whether that's guns, taxes, the full gamut, they don't hear. You and I, we're reading the Bible and applying biblical concepts and biblical history to modern events. Democrats don't do this.
They don't.
They sneer at it.
They
would sneer at this. I mean, look, this is when these, then this Daniel, this is the book of Daniel, folks, chapter 6. Then this Daniel was preferred, and you could say then this Trump was preferred above the swamp because an excellent spirit was in him, and the people thought to set him over the whole realm. And the swamp sought to find occasion against Trump concerning the kingdom, but they could find no occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault in him. Then these men of the swamp said, we shall not find an occasion against this Trump, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So they set a trap for Daniel, and they now are executing a trap for Trump. So share what you think about conserving the freedom that is a godly gift, which most conservatives and Republicans that are going to vote in this 7th district race or are going to show up at the convention. These are mostly God-fearing people.
That's right.
And they get this. So, and then contrast that with Abigail Spanberger and the Democrats, and you said it so well, they sneer at us.
They do.
So break that down for the people.
It is about the sanctity of the individual and the recognition that our God loves us individually, not as a collective, and that is what matters, and that extends to so much of what is part of our dialogue right now. It extends to our ability to defend ourselves. It extends to the rights of the unborn. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, and Trump is about today. Tell the folks where Trump is right now.
And he's at the March for Life. And
only president ever.
The only one. And that goes back to what I was saying before. The president is leading. He needs a Congress, and he needs to be able to see people he trusts that will help him finish the job. I will help him finish the job. I will finish the job in Congress. Now, you talked about the application of that to Spanberger. Look, the fact is that people should not be confused. Regardless of what she says here in the district, she is not a moderate. She's a member of the Democrat Party, which has been taken over by the left. The left only sees us as blocks, as groups to be manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
That's the basis of their multiculturalism. That's the basis of their identity politics. And you know it when you are buying into the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what you're purchasing.
And
so you have
something?
To have your
you
eyes
You just
open.
Said something that I totally forgot. Now listen to this carefully, folks. This just goes to show you how we in the Republican Party are the true inheritors of the vision and the legacy of the late great Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. King talked about content of character, not color of skin. And here you got two men here on the radio with brown skin, and I forgot about it.
I gotta tell you.
And,
yeah.
And when my good friend Phil Rapp first called me several months ago to tell me about you, and I told him, I said, well, Phil, shoot me an email. And in his conversation with me and in the email that he sent me, he listed all these wonderful attributes that you have. West Point, Green Beret, member of Trump's Defense Department, lawyer. You lived in Hanover County.
That's right.
So you're not an outsider.
No.
The last several Democrat governors have come from up north and come down here going to tell Virginia what to do.
That's right.
Okay, so you're one of us.
We're vested. We built our home in Hanover.
Right. And so all of these things that my good friend Phil Rapp told me about you, Andrew, he did not mention, oh, by the way, he has brown skin. Oh, by the way, he's a black Republican. I mean, I hear this all the time. People think because I have brown skin, I can go down into the hood and get all of the other brown people and get them to be Republicans. Mm. You know, and I'm like, okay, can a white Republican go to San Francisco and get all of the white people to become Republican? It's Dr. King got it right. It's content of character, not color of skin.
You bring up a great point, and something that you will hear from me a lot, and the rest of the folks in the 7th District are going to keep hearing from me, is that I reject the language of the left. That means I reject identity politics. That is not a feature of my campaign.
Right.
I am not new to this philosophy. I was a Republican and a conservative since before I went to West Point. I was raised a Republican by my father, and I made myself a conservative through reading, studying, and paying attention to the
We world. Have a lot in common, my friend. I have never voted for a Democrat, and if you had to vote for your dog catcher, I would not, I repeat, I would not vote Democrat for dog catcher.
I would write in my dog's name before I wrote, before I voted for a Democrat. And here's the thing. The Republican Party, look, regardless of who's, who the personalities, this party has been a force for good since its birth. And in the same way that our nation has been a force for good, regardless of who's at the head of it.
Yeah.
And, so the identity politics, we must reject it. One last point on that. If we think as Republicans that we can adopt the language of the left and in order to try
to
win, in order to try to win an election, what's going to happen is we are going to continue losing elections.
Yes.
And we're going to lose the soul of the party. So we must reject that, and we must stick to our principles, which is again, why I am running to finish the job, because this is not about me.
Now we got 2 minutes. Last thing. In the state of Virginia, when the ballot initiative was property rights, 75% voted yes, 25% voted no, I don't want to protect my property. You go figure that one out. When the issue was protecting marriage, 58% said yes, language matters. A marriage is a one man and one woman. But yet and still, when it comes to elections, when you attach Republican and Democrat to it rather than just an issue, Republicans can't seem to win. Democrats are winning. But when it's an issue that people care about, the kitchen table, balancing their budget, protecting themselves and protecting their families, and ballot initiatives, people consistently in Virginia, in the 7th District, and across this nation, people consistently vote conservatism. How can you break through, and you gotta do it in, well, look, we're gonna have to, we were supposed to do two segments. Could you do one more segment?
Yes, I can.
All right.
Yes,
so, yeah, because that, it might take you a little time to break it down, because to me, that is the key to Republicans winning elections with electorates that are 70% center right. We will be right back.
There ain't no doubt I love this land.
Welcome back to the program, folks. Our final segment of today's program, your friendly neighborhood hatchet man, Brother Craig, coming at you live here. This is the really real deal, and I have a candidate here with me, Andrew Nags, and so far, folks, he sounds like the really real deal to me. And but before we go any further with him, I need to remind you all that the truth that you get from this radio broadcast, it's not mine. I'm not a genius. I've not reinvented the wheel. The Lord has literally blessed me, has put people in my path that have been a blessing. I can go, and as you know, I'm always citing God's holy word to you, and I'm just taking the word of God and making it applicable to everyday life. This is not rocket science, folks. It's not rocket science, okay? And since I'm sharing with you the word of God, the things that I do, we don't charge. I've never gotten a salary in 12 years. If I get invited out to give a speech, I've never charged. You know, I've had a few occasions where folks have offered, and, you know, if you want to invite me out to speak to your group and offer something, I would accept it very, very gladly and graciously, and well, thank you. It would be needed, but we don't charge money to share the word of God. And so, but we do need your donation support. So I would humbly ask you to go to our website, thereallyrealdeal.com. That's five words, thereallyrealdeal.com. And familiarize yourself with that website. Find out what the Hatchet Man has been doing for the last 12 years. The TV shows and TV series, the radio programs, the articles, the speeches. Find out what all the fuss is about, and if what we are blessed to do lines up with what you are about. And if you are a giver, please consider including us in your giving. And again, we have a very secure donation portal at our website, thereallyrealdeal.com. And now Andrew has graciously agreed to give us one more segment to share with you. And Andrew, you have a new website. You want to share with folks how they can connect with you?
Yeah, that's right. AndrewNags.com, AndrewNags.com. AndrewNags.com. That's the best way to take a look at my what I stand for. We've got some policy issues there, as well as more information on my background. And if you are inclined to donate, because we truly need your help to continue bring our message and to work towards this nomination, we absolutely need your support. So the best way to donate is to go to andrewnags.com. And on that point, I've got to say that the end of April, it may shift, but right now, April 25th is the convention, and that is going to be the nomination process. That's going to be the means by which the Republican Party in the 7th District selects the nominee to run against and beat Abigail Spanberger. And I need your help. For those of you in the 7th District, I need your help. So please go sign up to be one of my delegates. If you believe and share the same beliefs that I do and you like what you're hearing, then come out and be my supporter. We will, one of my teammates will reach out to you and explain to you what it means to be a delegate. But the best way to initiate that is to go through andrewnags.com. And that's also the best way to learn more about me and to donate.
Yeah. And it seems like you're going to need three things, Andrew. You need financial support. You need that. You need people to become a delegate. And to become a delegate, that would be you've already decided you're going to support this gentleman to represent us against Spanberger and the Democrats. Okay?
That's right.
Spanberger and the Democrat machine that they're gonna bring, but you know, sounds like you're a man. You're not afraid of that.
I'm not.
But you also, I think you're gonna need volunteers.
Definitely need volunteers.
Door knockers.
And the fourth thing, I need your prayers as well.
Yeah.
But absolutely, volunteers is key. And you can also identify on the website if that's what you wish to do. And like I said, once we get your information, we will reach out. And you bring up a great point. And one of the things that I've been telling folks throughout the district is that there are enough of us to win this election.
Yes.
Right? There are enough Republicans to win this election. What we need is someone who's willing to stand up with courage and to speak the truth and to defend our values. But you know what that requires? It requires a candidate who's willing to fight. It needs someone who is not looking to just go up to D.C. to be something, but someone who wants to go up there to do something. And that thing that needs to be done is we need to finish the job of supporting President Trump and the work that he has started this term, and we need to continue that, but it requires someone who's willing to fight and have that placed above just simply making nice and to work on your personal profile.
Yeah, you know, Andrew, Jesus spoke a powerful parable. Well, every parable, all of Jesus' parables are powerful.
Everyone.
But this particular parable was about the hireling versus the true son.
Yeah.
And the hireling, when the wolf comes to attack God's flock, the hireling will seek self-advantage to not have any danger come to himself.
That's right.
The true son, like you just said, will stand and fight.
That's right.
So and not only in the 7th District or not only in our home state of Virginia with the Democrat takeover of the state of Virginia, and you're seeing, the protection of human life, okay? These Democrats, they're just falling all over themselves to just remove whatever protections that Republicans had put around innocent little babies. So some people are dispirited, and they think that, well, it's hopeless. And so they don't vote, or they've moved and they've not updated their voter registration, or for whatever reason, they've dropped out and they don't participate. So speak to those people, because the number of people that in spirit are with us is far above 50%, but we can't seem to get 50% to vote for us. So speak to those people. How do you motivate those people? Register to vote. Ask your friends who are unregistered to register. It's like every citizen in the 7th District or in the state of every conservative in the nation needs to have with them at all times voter registration forms. Matter of fact, I don't have any. And after this show, I'm going to print me off some, and I'm going to have them with me every day. And anyone that's not registered to vote, particularly if you're conservative.
I like that.
I'm going to be personally asking them to do this. So speak to those people. How do we motivate them and give them the faith that it is not futile, it is not hopeless?
Look, this fight is not over. And if you listen to the so-called experts who will tell you that, hey, it's in, Virginia's blue, they're the same folks who told us that 2016 was in the bag for Hillary. Mm-hmm. Do not listen to the talking heads. Listen to your hearts and understand that we need to keep faith with our own communities. We need to keep faith with ourselves, and we need to trust in our God. This fight is not over, but it is a fight. So when you're looking out there and you're trying to decide whether or not you're going to support someone, you need someone who not only is willing to string some colorful words together in a way that hits those emotional heartstrings in just the right way, but someone who has the credibility to stand up and go toe-to-toe against Abigail Spanberger. And right now, look, like you said, the Democrats and Abigail Spanberger, the left has taken over that entire party. You have to understand, if we do not stand together, we will be devoured by this Leviathan.
Yeah.
So, yes, we must fight, and we can't do it on our own. The time for other people to do it for us is long over.
Yes.
We have to do it for ourselves.
Yeah.
So, the way that we motivate people is that we give them something to and someone to believe in.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean someone who has lived the same principles that they're espousing right now. And that includes supporting this president. If you believe in this president, you have to get out and vote.
Right.
You have to understand that we will lose the gains that we've made during this first term if we don't get out there and vote.
Yeah. You know, and I just got back from a tour of the United Kingdom, and I saw the statue that was there dedicated to Sir Edmund Burke. And he's credited with many quotes. And,
yes.
One of his most famous quotes is, "The only thing necessary for evil men to prosper is for good men to do nothing." And so thank you so much, Andrew,
thank you.
For your years of service. Thank you for jumping out of perfectly good aircraft in the middle of the night. And thank you for serving President Trump, and thank you for adding your voice to the desire to take the 7th congressional district back. And I just leave the audience with this prayer, as I love to do, that the Lord would bless you and keep you, that the Lord would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, and that the Lord would lift his countenance up upon you all and give you peace. God bless you out there, folks, and we're going to see you right here next week, folks. Same hatchet time, same hatchet station. My God.